The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Ronnie, he's Paul, and it's a 2-0 win, 3 points, top the league. Cheers for coming, see you after. And come on now, Reese. You didn't dominate the game, pal. We'll tell the jokes here with your shite par. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, Erdrionian's review, your voicemails, my good, bad and ugly Diddy Cup preview, more international call-ups, the loan report, the academy, the women's team, our A to Z of Dundee United and On This Day with the Arab Archive. It's all coming up on episode 206 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
Hi, I'm Ryan Gold. You're listening to the Dode Fox Podcast.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast with the wardrobe-shifting Paul McNichol and the absolutely dominated Ronnie Costello. First and foremost, off the bat, there's a boy cutting his grass a couple of gardens away. It's quite loud, so if you can hear it, we apologise. If you can't, then we're doing something right.
Yes, he has been warned, he's been threatened, but he's bigger than us, so.
And it was also continued. The same kind of threat that Charlie Telford got and shat the bed.
Shat it. Absolutely shat it. Speaking of shatting it. But well, this is
sorry, what?
This is linked to nothing, but I'm in a group chat, Rondo. Like the majority of the world, I'm in a group chat and any of the guys, and there's no names getting mentioned here, apart from the dog's name. The dog's called Theo. And Theo gets taken for a walk every day, and he goes out his way to take a dump on Joggy Scott's driveway.
No way.
Which is picked up. I do want to hasten to add it is picked up, but the dog seems to go out his way to soil the Dundee Legends garden.
Good boy.
Yeah, top man.
Good boy.
Extra chew for how many gets him.
Unbelievable. That is absolutely superb. Thank you very much to everyone who has purchased an Adair mug over the last couple of weeks. All the orders have been dispatched. Unless you order on Friday, that'll get dispatched next week. But thank you very much to everyone who's picked up an Adair mug. One of the only mugs that Paul doesn't have in his collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll no be adding to my collection. There's too many fucking mugs in my house.
It's unbelievable.
There's me and Leo, that's it. About a million mugs.
I say that to a pal of mine who was here last week. And he was on about like merch, stuff like that. And I had a t-shirt on that was like, never seen the light of day. And he's like, oh, can you sell many of them? And I'm like, it's never even made it. Like, this is just in hours that you get. It's all right, and never made it. I don't think this VG and I've got it's ever been on.
No.
No, I think so. No. But there you go. But thank you very much, DodeFoxPodcast.com. There's a few bits and bobs on there. Of course, you can listen back to all the episodes and your voicemails, which we'll get to coming up as well. More international call-ups this week, Paul. Another couple of players that might just miss out on the Diddy Cup next weekend.
It does seem to be that way, doesn't it? So it's Young Arch and Jack Newman in the under-21 squad.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll probably cost them like 90 minutes, unless they get 90 minutes with the national team, I suppose. But it's going to rule them out.
Mm-hmm. The big things being, though, it's that an international recognition just being around the international setup, you know, it's hard to knock them and whatever else.
I think
else.
If you were to ask them, they'd probably be more than happy that they're away with their country. So no big deal for them.
No, the Diddy Cup, of course. Next week, we'll preview that as we go. Thank you very much to everyone else who has voted for us. Listener's Choice Award category in the British Podcast Awards. You can go to DodeFoxPodcast.com, head to the voting page, and you can get there. So, lots to get through today. We'll look back at the Airdrie game. We've got season ticket rebates to talk about. We've got previews of A to Z, which...
That'll be short and sweet.
I think it will be. I generally think it will be. So it'll be E is what we're looking for this week, and all the usual stuff is still to come. Some of your voicemails that come in through the week. So let's start with some of them.
Hi, guys. It's Dave Muir here, the other Dave Muir, Twitter handle DaveDo1974. I would just like to say that I'm enjoying the new A to Z game. Really difficult choices the last 3 weeks, including this week. However, as a supporter that's seen pretty much them all play from the early 80s onwards, I'm going for Davy Dodds this week. Keep up the good work, guys. Cheers.
That's easy, wasn't it?
So that is our buddy Dave Muir. And last week, there was another Dave Muir, and you said, oh, that's we're mate Dave Muir. And when I heard the voice, I was thinking, ah, that doesn't sound like Dave Muir.
Everyone's our pal.
Well, of course they are. Of course, everybody's a podcast pal, regardless if they've been on or not. Mm-hmm. If you listen, you're a pal. But yeah, I spoke to Dave yesterday in the Heggie, and he was like, I've left you a voicemail. So, or he said, I phoned in. I thought I was like, you're on the phone. Nobody phones in. There's no number.
Yeah. The thing is with Ian, and I think we've said this before, like, Paul's never heard these voicemails. This is the first time he gets to hear them. Mm-hmm. It's just now. And whereas I only hear them to basically make sure the levels are okay, but I didn't really. Was it too much? And obviously, if there's too many, we could filter through them and all that kind of stuff. But thank you very much to Dave for getting in touch.
Sup, lads. Jack Morrison here. Wanted to just say about the game, just say hi to my dad. He knows where he knows who he is.
Just wants to say hi to his dad.
Oh, that's class.
Good, eh?
Has Leo left any messages saying hi to his dad?
Oh, I've got it in here.
Dad, don't I? Because it's...
Tell dad he is a ball bag.
Oh, well... And it's a message of sorts, I guess. I'll take it.
It's almost like saying he loves you.
It is in our relationship. Yes, it is. It's a term of endearment.
Well, he's a teenager, isn't he? So don't expect much more than that. Right, a couple more to get on before we get through.
All right, boys. Stephen here. I didn't really watch football before this year, so I've got a lot of catching up to do. I'm glad I've got this podcast to hear local boys on about my local team. I was at my first game against Partick in the League Cup, which was a fucking shiter to watch, and I'll be at the Airdrie game on the weekend, I hope. Cujo can ping a couple more in the corner. I'm hoping he's going to turn out well this year. As I say, I've not really watched football before, so this is me kind of getting into it, and Cujo's my guy to go for. More terrors.
What a man.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what he chose United for then. It's because they're local. Obviously, he's a Dundonian.
Best of the two, innit?
Well, clearly. Clearly, regardless of current league status, clearly the best of the two.
Absolutely doesn't matter. That's just the way it is.
Hey guys, just listen to this week's podcast. Loving the A to Z. Don't know how we're going to choose between the Dodds this week. Just looked at the players on that Arab archive for names starting with Ian. Oh, the best with that, like. When you get to M, how you're going to choose between Jean-Jacques Missy and Alec Matthew, I don't know. Anyway, usual high standard, keep it up. How do I turn this off?
That's right. That's our mate, our other mate, Richie Rockefeller.
Indeed, it is. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, you can do it anytime, doorfoxpodcast.com. Click on the mic icon in the bottom right. Thank you very much to Dave, to Jack, Stephen, and Richie Rockefeller for leaving us a message during the week. So, Paul, season ticket rebates.
Yes.
Have been a thing the last sort of few weeks, so it's been there. And this week they've come out and said, what is happening for a guy that doesn't have one? Mm-hmm. What's happening?
Yeah, well, I went in to get mine, so I did cash mine back in, and I collected it the other day. So I've got 32.50 back, I believe. And I think you've just got the...
What's that by, a sleeve?
A number of pencil cases and a passport holder. You've got to use it by the end of December. Mm. So... I fully expect the club to release a new top in the first week in January. That's par for the course, isn't it? That's an absolute cert. But I mean, it's why it's not for the duration of the whole season, I'm not sure. Mm. But it is what it is, as our mate Max Holloway says. So I wasn't sure when it came out whether I was going to take it or no, but I did take it. I must have been in the huff when I claimed it, and I had to go in, and when you go in, you've got to...
Oh, no, you were in the huff. You were here.
I was in the huff, yeah, yeah.
Same as after Spartans.
Well, that was an easy decision then. They're lucky I didn't ask for a full refund. But I'll end up with something, obviously. You still have to spend it in the shop. They still get the money somehow, so... Mm.
So what happened? Do you get a voucher? Does it go on your card?
No, you just get a voucher that you can only use once. And mine's just 32.50. If I'm only using 30 quid of that, then you don't get any genius.
So maximise.
You've got to, yeah.
So, better two pencil cases.
Well, I would like the fact I get more than two pencil cases, 32 quid, but you never know.
I bought because the shop sells a lot of stuff now, and it's actually quite good. You see loads of different ranges. I quite like that. But, I bought two dog bowls for the dog. Also bought the dog a home shirt because she's a dachshund, doesn't fit her, clearly. And a collar and a lead. It cost me about 50 note. It's class.
50 quid. Jeezy, peeps.
She deserves it.
She does, yeah. I bet she looks fantastic wearing it.
Of course, well, Doesn't quite fit her, but yes, she does. Well, princess.
Get it took in at the sides or whatever you hit today.
100%. All right, before we touch on the game yesterday, Leighton Bisland's head out on loan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's a right back. As far as I'm aware, he could maybe play a number of positions across the back, but primarily he's a right back, so that was leaving with a little bit short of depth, you would argue.
I'll just look an 18-year-old.
Yeah, he does look like a grizzled old veteran. But if he goes there and he gets regular minutes, then that'll only help him.
Yeah, and
he's going to be busy in a defence we call Donaldson. Let's not pretend it's going to be an easy ride for the lad this season.
Yeah, so I mean that'll be what's that, 3 or 4 out on loan now?
I think it's 4. Yeah. Albeit Miller Thompson's still injured just now.
Yeah. So Adrionens,
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Yeah.
I was going into the game thinking it's probably going to be an unchanged side.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, didn't happen. Ross Doherty missed out. He tweaked his hamstring again. Chris Mockery failed a fitness test. That's why he wasn't on the bench.
Oh, okay.
So.
But then that opened the door for young Scott Constable to come on.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that when we get to the end of the game.
Just while I've touched on Chris Mockery, do you want to tell MD about a rumour that I was telling you about this week?
Oh, the rumour. Well, the rumour mill that we never got around to last week was, and I'm sure everybody's more than aware of it now, but it was that Chris Mockery was meant to be going to Dunfermline and we were meant to be getting Craig Whiting.
Uh-huh. How'd you take that?
Well, I didn't take it very well. I think that put me back in my huff.
What about Thursday or Friday this week?
When you were at the Capers. You were at the winding up. Well, Ronnie's sending me messages saying, Whiting's been spotted at St Andrews. And, fuck's sake, this can't be happening. And then in my own mind, I'm like, right, positives. It weakens Dunfermline. It would piss off all the Dirty D's. But it would also piss off a lot of United fans. So, nah, I don't think it was. I think it was just one of these. It's silly season, isn't it, when transfer windows are going away to close. And like, if I was able to just avoid messages for you, which was difficult because you were bombarding us with Whiting nonsense.
What, the song?
Ahan. It didn't surprise me that we didn't bring anybody else in.
Mm.
And the reason for that is because Goodwin was coming out in the press and saying, look, and he said it before, but he was saying it's hard to get people to come to United in the Championship. It's not the same as United in the Premier. So blah, blah, blah. I'm happy with the squad. And I just thought, right, that he's just setting up here for the disappointment of not bringing anybody else in.
Was the big thing being that, and I know we've sort of glossed over it because actually didn't actually write doing transfer window because we didn't actually bring MD in, but I think that when you get to that last day, I know it's the same during the window, but the person coming in has to be better than what you've got.
Yeah.
Because then I think you're only bringing in a number.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of these last minute signings anyway. It always seems a bit panicked, unless it's a case of you've been chasing this guy the whole month.
And he's clubber.
Yeah, like if it's something like that, then okay. But when you randomly sign somebody that you've never heard of, like an Alex Nichols or a Loic Aina, and now albeit Loic wasn't that bad, but they come across as panic signings when they're made so late in the day and nobody's ever heard of them, and then people let you saying that we've scouted these boys and now you've not.
Mm.
So stop lying. So it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a surprise that we didn't add anybody. I would say, in my opinion, it was disappointing because like we've spoke about it for a couple of weeks. We're light in a number of areas. Like look at yesterday, for example, regardless of the result and whatever, like our midfield engine wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you're short, Louis Moult. He's the only striker that you can confidently say, right, he's going to do a job. I don't believe Tony Watt can do what he does. I don't believe that. Rory McLeod, unproven. Owen Sturton, boom. So the depth drop-off is monumental. I would say the only place that I'm fairly comfortable is at the back. And maybe that's the thinking. Maybe they're like, well, that'll do because we're not going to concede many goals.
And it's probably fair to say that 4 out of the back 5 are nailed on.
Yeah, we said that the other week. Yeah, they really are. I think you can. It's like your left back, your centre half, your keeper, they're not moving anytime soon. It's only the right back area that you could make an argument for, whether it's Sheep, whether it's Grimshaw,
or whomever else may ultimately fit in there. That's probably the only area that in the gaffer's head isn't cemented.
And again, it's going back to that, you know, players that come in have to be better on what you've got, because if you bring in, say they bring in a striker, right? What's the real chance the boy plays? And this is what I was getting at. If Molt plays as he has done, no really had any major fitness worries, I get there's always the, but you could get injured. There's always that, I get that. Mm-hmm. But is it a case that maybe they've not brought in a couple of players, and we'll be hypotheticals here and say, okay, that could be $5,000 a week on wages, could be $4,000 a week on wages,
yeah,
to just sit on a bench? You know, for me, and I could see, and I saw people saying we needed a winger, we needed midfielders, we needed right backs and all this. I think if they got somebody that could play a couple of positions, mm-hmm, might have been okay. But again, you are probably wanting to bring a better on what you've got. And again, it's looking, that right back is no nailed on.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep's come back in yesterday, but Grimshaw's went in the midfield and could do that, you know, and Declan Glass has got another chance to play in midfield yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do, like you say, the engine's gone.
Yes.
So yeah, what do you do around that?
Yeah.
There's the argument, obviously, a winger, but then we've effectively got three players. I mean, even yesterday you saw, like, Kai come in and played on the right, he's played on the left, so you've got three players for two positions there.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, I mean, there's the argument for the striker, but if Louis Molt's going to be fit, you know...
But it's a risk.
I get that.
I mean, if you go back to January, it was a massive risk for us to then rely solely on Stephen Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Fletcher's injury history was, as far as I'm aware, it's non-existent. Like, there's no doubt he's had wee niggly injuries here and there, but it's not that bad. Before Louis Molt signed for us, he'd only played four games in about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a red flag. And that is, like, there was, when he signed, you'll remember, there was a lot of people that were like, nah, what we're signing this boy for? I didn't believe anybody was doubting his ability. People were just thinking, like, you can't be relying on this guy because he's only played four games in the last 4 years or however many it was. Now, obviously, as we're recording this today, he's almost played every, or he has played every game, barring Falkirk. I think we took him out, we rested him because of the pitch and whatever.
Yep.
But I just think, like, it's early in the season. We've only played four games. There's 30 odd still to go. It just strikes me as being a bit risky.
Mm-hmm.
A bit risky.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I was going to say there was that for that reasoning of not bringing the striker in, because if, let's say, Louis Molt's going to play these games, for me, if it's going to be token 5 and 10 minutes for the bench, I'd rather it's one of our players.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, even yesterday, look at yesterday, maybe because it was 1-0 to the death, it didn't change. That didn't happen, you know? And again, it could have been totally different if the engine room's in there and whatever else. And injuries are part and parcel. I mean, to get both your centre midfielders going down at the same time.
Yeah.
But then when you look at the two games, or three games that have been sort of there and thereabouts. I mean, obviously, Ross Doherty doesn't want to play at Tannadice. That's why I tap for this.
Yeah.
And shite back, really.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say it to his face. But
I would, he's wee.
But, you know, so it's ultimately, it's disappointing. I think, and I've not got confirmation of this, I think the loan market might still be open for Championship clubs.
Possibly. And maybe guys that are also unattached to clubs as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, again, yeah, it's hit and miss, is it really, if you're getting players that are unattached? I heard a whisper that United were actually trying to get, and I'm assuming it was on loan, but the boy that scored two goals against St Johnson, against Dundee yesterday.
Oh.
The boy Max, and I'm not even going to attempt to butcher his name, but United were...
United
were trying to get him. And I'm assuming on loan, because again, he's a St Johnson player. I didn't think that they would be trying to buy him, but obviously... We missed out on that, but what other business that we attempted to do? I have no idea. I think we got the runner in for the boy Smith that everybody had text saying he's signing. Yep, he signed.
Or it just fell over the needle.
Well, I think we got the runner in for him, because when he's left Hearts, he's moved into England, and I think, I don't know, Kenny, he was maybe arguing for Mairn Dosh or whatever he was seeking and wanting to actually come back up here, but... Again, like he's a bit of an old man. He's 35, 36. I can maybe a right back. Obviously, I think it's obviously an area that Goodwin's identified as. He's maybe not quite happy with that. If he is looking for players that can fill that position, but We'll just say go with what we've got for now, obviously, because the window's shut, and just hope and pray that some of our main players didn't get injured, and in particular Louis Moult.
Well, didn't I get the boy face St Johnston, but he done all right yesterday.
He done all right. He actually done me a favour. He made me smile. So, regardless if we got him or no, the other thing of the transfer window that
you've got to do, didn't I get Craig Whiting?
I'm absolutely thrilled that we didn't get Craig Whiting, but it's the Birragetti issue. Obviously, yeah. He's still here. I don't blame him because I don't know who else would take him. Like on the back of his performances last season. Like, why would sign anybody on the back of that run of performances? So, I think we're stuck with him. It's probably going to be shite for him on a personal level because he's.
He'll not play for a year.
No, he'll not play for a year. He'll probably train on his own or whatever, I would imagine. I've no idea, but it's like, and it'll be shite for the club. But then, the club have made their bed, so they hate Atlanta. You know, they sanctioned the move. They gave him this contract, whatever he's on. And I've heard all manner of numbers, but I've no idea what he's on. But he's well within his rights to sit tight and collect his pay. It's us that just hate to suffer, I suppose.
That'd be really. And again, obviously, comfy Central Coast Mariners.
Mm.
So, yeah. And their manager's been heavily linked with the Hibs job. Because obviously the percentile victories weren't enough, and he got bombed.
No, the box
so,
entries and whatever.
Yeah. I love any of them. So, you know, there's nothing stopping. Obviously, you could move in January or whatever. But it was interesting. I think they were on about they're not going to pay him up or anything. Well, I mean, you're paying him now, so you'll have to pay him that.
Yeah, but maybe budget wise, it's easier to give him whatever he's on a week rather than a lump sum.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? As I say, no idea what he's on. Whatever it is, the club authorised it.
Yeah,
just over 12 months ago, so he's entitled to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be sitting on it.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
So, Airdrie Onions then, back to that.
Yes, back to Airdrie. We knew nothing about them, did we? Although stats were coming out pre-match that, they've scored in their last 426 games or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was always going to be a wee bit sticky. But like that run, obviously, that might have been a great run. And when you're on a run like that, it doesn't go forever. So you were hoping that it was going to be ended at Tannadice.
It was. Something like...
It was 30, I think it was 36, 37.
Something nuts.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's almost a season's worth of games.
Yeah.
You know?
For that. So yeah, it was a wee bit of a not really sure. And they'd added a couple of players during the week. I think they've got a couple of players on loan for like Hibs and stuff like that. They've got a very young team.
Yeah. What about the wee boy that they just signed? The Irish boy, number 12, I think he was. Like I saw him. I think it was him that took centre. And I was like, this boy. He's not going to be up to much. He's a very good wee player. What about their start to the game though? Like the boy tucks centre, rolls it back to the boy, chips it up, and he just smashes it.
Yeah. What's that about?
I thought, are we watching a game at Fairmare 3 here?
What? That's crazy. But they are, looking at that, and again, just looking at things yesterday, and again, it's like anything. You go through the team and you go, right, I've no idea where they are. Boy Todorov recognised his name. Reece McCabe obviously noticed his name.
Yeah.
Shitebag Telfer wasn't on the list. But again, other than that, there wasn't many that you noticed. Yeah. But then you actually look and go, well, he's like 18, he's 19.
Yeah.
The striker, the number 9, he had trials at United as a Bairn.
Okay.
And then joined probably Rangers at the time, probably wouldn't have been the at the time. So I remember watching, reading that yesterday. I think it was in the programme. I mean, you're going, I can't go. And he's got a tasty goal record, like him and the boy, it's at. Queen's Park, both decent players, but again, it was all about how we were going to be up for the game, and you started to come at the traps, like, I mean, we hit the post in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, we were flying, yeah, and obviously you get an early goal, because that was the concern, and it's going to be the concern every home game, certainly, right. And maybe even every game this season, but certainly every home game, as a fan's point of view, you didn't want to concede the first goal, because it's just going to be like batting down the hatches for missed teams. I didn't think Airdrie would have batted down the hatches, but you never know. They never got into that position to find out, I suppose. But we come out the traps flying. We were on the front foot. It was a great wee move down the right-hand side. couple of nice passes and a great finish for Cujo. And it was like you were thinking, this could be easy straight here, did they? Didn't quite work out that way.
I've not seen the goal for a different angle. Because it was one of them.
Keeper went with the wrong hand.
Right, well, I was just about to say, was it a really good finish or did the keeper... when you're not seeing it from behind the goal to really see, but so the keeper's went with his left, so he's right.
Yeah. It looked like a great finish. Like same as you, I've only saw it for the one angle and it looks like it's flew right into the corner of the net, but the one thing I did notice is that the keeper went with his left hand when he should have went with his right. And in my mind, and I'm clearly a goalkeeping guru.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean, you can dish it. Player of the Match awards for the women's team easy enough last season, Ken. But yeah, that it was a good start. It was a nice ball in for Declan Glass. Middleton with the layoff and Cujo on the left peg into the corner of the net to 1-0. And then obviously Louis Moulton hit the post.
Yep.
And you're thinking, well, this is a bit tasty.
Yep.
This could be a tasty 10 minutes, you know, to start the game. And then it looked like we were going to really go on for there. There was obviously the... stoppage.
Yeah, the incident in the crowd, yeah.
For that, was it a lot longer, probably everyone's, anyway, I mean, it has to be, it can take as long as it wants, type thing. But it's always that incident that you see and you just think, oh, well, you feared sort of the worst, but hopefully.
Yeah, well, when it happened, like, obviously, we had a throw in, I think.
And, yeah, we did.
And you were like, what is the ref blew his whistle for? So, like, I didn't shout at the ref, but I was kind of biting my tongue thinking, what is this arsehole stopped the game here for? And he was going out of the dugouts and like my vantage point, nobody really cared what was going on. And then you saw a wee bit of activity just actually along for the singing section. And then you're like, oh Christ almighty. You're like, I hope things are all right. And then you see the United physio coming around and then the paramedics.
And the doctor that looks like we're mate markers.
Yes, yes. But the paramedics always pisses me off. What are the walks so slow for? Just hurry up. Like, you didn't care how serious this is. You see boys on the park with broken legs and they're just moseying on. Just go on there. Jesus Christ, get it dealt with. But thankfully, apparently, I think it was a young lassie that fainted. And the news that I've certainly read is like she's all right.
Yeah.
She's all right. So that is the main thing.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. But it was a wee bit worrying at the time, though, because you genuinely... You don't care what's going on. You just see a flurry of activity, a lot of stewards, medics, and you're like, oh, man, please. I hope somebody's all right here.
Yeah, 100%. And then obviously on that, and there was, she obviously gets wheeled round. And I'm assuming that wee wheelchair-y thing is an ambulance thing. I don't know, but she was certainly responsive and whatever. Yeah. And she got a wee part in the leg for Jim Goodwin as well.
That's probably what brought her good health.
Well, it was either that or getting out of the way on elbow.
Well, she done well.
I mean, so
she done well. She was in the right place to tat an elbow right enough because she was on route to hospital.
Correct, but hopefully everything is all good and better and a recovery and all that. And then obviously on the back of that, what was quite amusing is then after you went through a wee warm up again.
Yeah,
the officials and everything were going, and then the whole time I'm going, I thought it was going to be him sharp tonight. You're just thinking.
Back of Stephen.
But actually, and then it was when I realised, that's about 11, 12 minute delay. The wee warm up, and then obviously it was our throw in. And for that, Louis Moulton then hit the post again.
Yeah, yeah. But that was about, like, that was almost instantly after it, was it? But after that, we just seemed to, or the game itself kind of just, it died a bit. It's like the players found it hard to get back up for it, which in a way is understandable because like they're humans, you know, they've saw something, and albeit like the poor lassie got wheeled off and she did appear to be conscious at that time, but you don't know how that affects people, you know. So yeah, the rest of the first half, it wasn't overly great. It wasn't a great watch.
No, it wasn't at all. We did hit the bar again, though, didn't we? Post Kevin Holt this time,
goal machine. Best signing we've ever made.
Wow. Hearing that, we may as well finish now. We just said that. But I thought we were certainly creating enough and having, plenty of the ball and maybe the killer pass, or we'd get a wee bit lazy in possession or a wee bit slack with a pass. I did certainly notice in the first half that there was one point that Goodwin was raging at Cujo.
Yeah.
Raging.
Yeah. Like, he was poor yesterday.
Screaming at him.
Yeah, he was poor. I actually thought that the front four were fairly poor yesterday. Like we had moments, like the goal was a great move, and we've had moments where we've hit the post, we've hit the bar. But in general, like it just Middleton, Honk and Cujo not really getting into it. Watt and Molt, probably the poorest I've saw Molt, but he still knocks his pan in. Watt was off it yesterday. We just didn't. I just didn't think we were very good going forward.
Mm. What do you think of halftime? Did you hear that feeling of first 10 minutes we were all right, and then it just
As much as like they, I thought that they knocked the ball about quite well, within reason, like to a point.
But, wait a minute, you're saying you're not agreeing with their manager that they were dominant?
No. Well, you could look at it too, like dominant. They might have dominated possession. Certainly in the second half, it felt like they dominated possession. But they didn't really do much. And in the first half, I can only think there was one shot that was fairly comfortable save for Super Jack Walton in goal. And so I was all right. I said it to you the other week, like our defence, I could sleep at night, Kenan, that these boys are our back line in this league, certainly, because I just think that they're solid.
Having a lot of possession does not mean you're dominant.
No.
Because in the second half, and I could see...
You've got to do something with it.
Yeah, and people were saying, obviously, Ken, it was slow, it was this, that. Again, we've got 9-10 behind the ball. Mm-hmm. But they were, you know, when you look at how they have been playing, the way they've been playing is they keep ahead of the bar, you commit, and they go through you.
Yeah.
So we sat and quite happily sucked out. But again, they can have that possession for, I think for 15 minutes, they dominated possession. Doesn't mean they dominated the game. They had the ball. They done nothing with it. There was one, Declan Gallagher thought, Ken, what? I'm just going to wait and I'll just flick that off the line. No problem. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But again, other than that, nothing.
I didn't, I wasn't a happy second half at all. And I know what you're saying, like we were happy to allow them to do whatever they were doing. Like, you've got to remember, we were playing Airdrie. We weren't playing Man City. Like, we just seemed to let them do what they wanted to a point. And, I mean, it was effective, okay? Like, I'm ruining my own argument. It was effective because we were able to marshal it nae bother, it felt like. And apart from that one where Declan Gallagher's kicked it off the line, they've no really troubled. I think Jack Walton had in, it was like a fingertip over the bar. It was probably going over the bar anyway.
The rest of them were right on. Only a few.
Yeah, but I can see it. I could see where the guy McCabe's coming for, like, because second half certainly they did have, or it certainly felt. I've no saw possession stats or that, but it certainly felt like they had most of the ball. But again, they didn't really do anything with it, and I wasn't watching the game thinking this is it's coming, and they're going to get a goal here. I was at the time though thinking we're asking for trouble by sitting off them so much. But no, it worked out brand
at the
end.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the only one stat that counts is in the top left. But you're looking at possession. So overall, we had 56% of the ball.
Is that right?
Okay.
Wow.
In the first half, we had 67% of the ball. In the second half, you know, well, halfway through the first half, we had 75% of possession.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second half, they margined the possession, but in nothing areas. Like, this is... Keeping the bar in your half to the halfway line, you do that how you want.
Yeah.
You can do that how you want because nothing's coming to it. Is it frustrating? Of course it is. Was it our best performance? No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can play below par, because I think we can, because I think we know we're better, and we have still won a game 2-0 at home, and I actually think it might be harder for us to play at home this year.
Maybe. But, like the caveat to that is when you score a goal in 4 minutes, you would think that it shouldn't be difficult to play. I just felt second half like there was no need for us, and I know that it's ultimately worked, and I don't want to be overly critical, but it wasn't a great thing to watch, seeing your team sitting so deep, sitting in against a team that's just been promoted for League One. Like it didn't sit great with me, but granted, it was effective in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like when Kai and Young Ertz came on, they gave the team a wee bit more impetus. Kai was closing down the keeper, for example, or Young Ertz was getting about the middle of the park. That kind of changed things a wee bit, but there was easy a 30-minute period I thought where they were just comfortably controlling the ball, if not the game.
Yeah, again, I mean, it's one of them. We weren't at our best because I think I said it. You know, we were slacking possession sometimes. Our passing mm-hmm. wasn't great at mm-hmm. times, but we have then still hit the woodwork three times. Mm-hmm. We've been 1-0 up very early, and you're hoping to capitalise on it. And again, we've had loads of the ball. We've had some decent chances, or we've had crosses of hit boy. I think we had a good handful of corners again.
Yeah,
sort of yesterday.
And we're a threat for these, it feels like.
Well, that is it. We are a threat for them now, which...
Or Kevin Holt's a threat for these guys.
And at the same time, though, we can also defend them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is quite nice.
Yeah, I'm genuinely incredibly comfortable in this league with that defence
mm-hmm.
And that keeper. I said it the other week, I think we'll have the fewest goals conceded. And again, we've only played four games. We've not seen all the teams yet, but they just seem to have struck up a really good partnership. Christ, they're going 10-pin bowling together, so they're obviously mates, which is it's not going to harm things, is it? Like if you're getting on with the boy that you're working right next to. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm very comfortable with what we're seeing at the back, but it was also noticeable yesterday because like that's the second home game where. It's not been a great watch, and you're saying it might be like that. It might be difficult, and it might be, but it's also like we've missed. We've no Hudward, Doherty and Sybil mm-hmm. together at home.
Told you, Doherty doesn't want to play Tandys. Scared.
Well, if you're listening, you're going to hit it. Okay.
But yeah, I heard or watched the post-match comments for their manager and the left back, who I thought had Cujo's number pretty early on yesterday. You know, he's come out and said, you know, the Airdrie dominated, you know, limited us to little chances. Well, I mean, we've hit the woodwork three times. We've, you know, when you've had the bar and done nothing with it, we've let you hit, and then when we've took the bar, you've scored twice.
Yeah.
What was the goalie doing for the second goal?
He was doing what he was doing the whole second half. Like, I had said to Leo at some point, I says, Declan Glass will hear shot for about the halfway line if this keeps happening, because I thought there's going to be a time they're going to lose possession and Declan, he's going to pick it up and he's just going to hit it because the keeper is miles out of his goal. Now, obviously, I wasn't right. I was clearly wrong. But when it happened, it was just opportunistic. And I don't think Kai's ever going to score a goal for United that isn't gift-wrapped for him, because that's two now mm-hmm. on a plate.
It was just a...
Great finish. It should be easy for a professional. Like, me and you should be able to score a goal for there. But you see them getting... You do see things like that going past.
I thought the ball was slowing down.
So did I. I thought the keeper's going to get this. But that was even better when you think about it, because it gave him hope. And then it trickled over the line.
It was just a terrible touch. Yeah. I can see what he's trying to do.
Yeah. He's made a bad touch and Kai's been on hand. Kai also, when he came on, he looks like he's been on the Louis Atbury diet. Or he's got a shot at his dumbbells. He looks like he's bulked up.
Yeah. The goalie, young goalkeeper, but he looks a decent prospect, certainly.
Apart from Devon for the first goal with the wrong hand.
Yeah.
And Guinoa the second in Rondo. He's done well.
Best defensive start since 82-83.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, albeit, we know what that year was all about. It's one that will live long in the memory, and we can't be comparing these guys to that team mm-hmm. by any stretch. But
just conceded one in just four league games.
It bodes well. It bodes well. It really does.
And who scored that one goal?
Who scored? I can't. The boy that we should have signed.
Correct.
No chance.
But it's been, you know, to see that. I mean, like anything, you know, the foundations are always built for that, but. You know, as we've said, four out of the five positions are nailed on. Super Jack Walton looks that at the moment.
Yeah.
He covers his box.
Yeah.
He seems to be loud. You kind of miss him with that keeper kit on.
No. He doesn't. It's almost like he doesn't have that much to do, though, because the defence in front of him are
up there, though.
Yeah, I've no doubt. He's got to stay switched on. You've got to stay switched on. But it's been very good. He's been very, very good.
The way we've been playing, obviously, last week you've seen it, Harry and chasing boys down and whatever else. pressing teams. We let Airdrie have the ball and then we hit them on the counter yesterday, which is nice that we're trying to do something different, which is handy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the midfield, Declan Glass got the shout last week, come in, played really well, got man of the match. Yesterday he was in there, Grimshaw into midfield, this time with Sheep coming back, which we thought was quicker than expected. We weren't sure how long he was going to be out. What did you make of those changes yesterday with Freeman coming in back to right back and Grimshaw going into midfield for a full 90 minutes? Because I think the last game he started there, he got shifted pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah, that was the Dunfermline game. Yes. That's when Sheep picked up the injury. I think it was out of necessity yesterday because I don't think that we can go into a game with Young Erch and Declan Glass in the middle of the park. I think you need a bit of a bruiser. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even saying that Doherty's a bruiser. Like I don't think he is, but he just seems to dictate the pace and he's just always there. He's an option to give and receive the ball. He's just an excellent player and I think he gets better in my mind when he's not there because you could see, we could have done with that there. Mm-hmm. But Grimshaw came in yesterday into that position. He'll be a mainstay in the team just because of his versatility, I think. I think he'll always be in the team. And he done a good job. He done a good job. It's not the same job as Sybald or Doherty does, but it's a job that needed done.
What's quite nice about that is, I mean, I wouldn't even say Doherty and Sybald are very similar. I think they've got similar traits, but I don't think they're the same player.
No.
And I think you had Grimshaw and you've got a different midfielder. You had Declan Glass. It's four different types of centre midfielder you've got there.
Yeah, and then you've got Erch, you've got Mockery. Mm-hmm. We don't know much about Scott Constable, obviously, and he'll not be getting relied on, you wouldn't think, because he's only a bairn.
I mean, come on, and Jim Goodwin said it was because Declan Glass was just cramping up.
Of course,
so it was,
of course.
Yeah, again, Declan's not completed 90 minutes.
No, he's not. He must get fined if he completes 90 minutes or something.
But yeah, and again, I mean, what I like about Declan Glass, and we've said this loads of times, is he never hides for the ball. He always wants to try and make things work.
He'll try something, yeah. Yeah.
And you thought he was going to ping in for the halfway line.
Yeah. Well, in the first half, he had I'm assuming it was a shot. I don't want to discredit him and say it was a terrible cross, but he had a shot for a really, really, a look to me, a tight angle, and he forced the keeper into a pretty good save. But yeah, he's the sort of guy that when he's on form, he's the sort of player that you like watching because you don't care what he's going to do. You don't care what he's going to attempt. You don't care about what will come off. A lot of time it does now, but again, that's just the way it goes.
And clearly playing a slightly different midfield role to what we've been used to over the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably because he has to.
Mm-hmm.
Because the demands for the manager are that he's got to muck in, I suppose, rather than just be in there to try and pick a pass or whatever. You've got to do that. You've got to do both sides of the game.
It was quite a day for our wingers yesterday.
Yeah, I felt they were poor. Could you obviously, he's got the goal, he's given a great start.
I thought the left back had his number very early.
Yeah.
He just knew what to do.
Didn't get much change out of him. And Glenn on the other side was off it. It was quite poor.
I thought they both probably started well, but probably again to that break because we were getting a lot of balls doing both wings. But you know, it's just
straight in. It can happen, especially like Cujo. He's really young, and I've defended him against your hatred of the laddie.
Wow!
But I've told you that he's gonna hit good games, gonna hit bad games. It's gonna happen in the same game. He's gonna hit good moments, bad moments. But like I'm needing Murphy Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I say that all the bloody time. I need Murphy him. I don't know what the issue is, if it's a confidence thing, a belief thing, but he's got to be confident in a way because the manager clearly favours him. Me personally, I'd hit Kai. And I said that at the start of the season, I would have had Kai in the team because he just seems he just wants to tap boys on. I don't know, Glenn Middleton doesn't really.
He wants to get the ball out and get it in there.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he's got a bit about him as well.
Of course. And he's got physicality. People accuse him, he's overweight. And he's overweight. Like, he's very well built. But maybe just because of like the height and the stature and the shape of him, he might look like he's overweight. The lad, he's not overweight. He'll be in prime fighting condition, I would imagine. But
just like us.
Clearly like us, and that's how I could recognise a man that's in prime fighting condition.
Yep.
But me personally, I would go with Kai. I think I think he's very exciting to watch. He's always direct. He gets stuck in as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Middleton doesn't, but I just think from the start of the season, out of the two, I would have went with Fotheringham. And nothing that I've seen up to now makes me change that opinion.
Mm. There's tight shorts as well, I'm led to believe. But no, that I'm staring that quite
no,
that close. But there you go. So one thing that was announced this week that on social media seems to have go 50-50 the way people think about it was obviously the announcement that there was going to be a singing section.
Yeah.
And then there was going to be a megaphone. And then there was going to be a drum.
Yes.
And then it seems, I believe, 80 or so supporters have moved or are now sat in that bit right behind the goal and whatever else. When you first heard it,
yeah,
what were you thinking? How was it yesterday?
Well, we hate to be honest, do we? Like, me and you have slated drums.
Fucking hate them.
Me and you have slated drums.
But, and I'll get to that.
Yeah, we've slated them over the course of, or the duration of putting out this nonsense on a weekly basis.
Mm.
But I was open-minded when I saw it coming out. I had a bit of a chuckle, actually, because when I read it, I said to Martin, well, there's going to be a drum in the morning because it's a lot closer to him than it is me. And he was like, you're fucking kidding me. I was like, no, there's going to be
a
drum.
Did he say it's an ice?
Well, I think that's what he had both hands around my throat at the time, so that's what it sounded like. But when I went to the game, I thought it was absolutely fantastic, yeah.
Mm.
I think it added to the atmosphere, mm-hmm. strangely. It's weird. I don't know, but like obviously Celtic, the Rangers, Motherwell, like these are the teams that jump into my mind that I've got. I think St. Johnstone have maybe got mm-hmm. it. And maybe because it's not my team, maybe because it's coming from further away, but it annoys you. It's like a drone. There's a boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. St. Mirren, they've got in as well. And it's just something that I've never warmed to at all. But that changed yesterday. Like I thought, and when you see the guys, it's sadly a young team, like it's, and that's the guys that will be paying money into the club for years and years to come. So, like one side of it, you want to keep these boys on side, you want to encourage more of them to come. Mm. And if it takes off, now I thought it was good yesterday, but you could see that taking off, and you said there was 80 seats or something. In time, that might double, that might treble. You never know. But I thought it was a resounding success. It wasn't annoying at all, not to me certainly, and I'm sure some people are like, oh, fucking megaphone drums, I don't like this, but I thought it was alright and I'm all for it. I just hope that they can keep it up, and also I would like to think that they can go to the majority of games, because most of the teams that have got these sections, that's what they do. Like, I think they all wear daft scarves these days, and they're dressed in black, and they've got balaclavas. And I hope our singing section then turn into complete wallopers like that. But you know what? If they do, they do. Like, as I say, it's the young team, and if that's what young teams do, then crack on. But I thought the atmosphere was far, far better yesterday than it has been in previous weeks. Yeah. And the fact that the second half, normally the way we were playing, which I thought was stinking for a period of time, like the crowd, they might have got on, and there was a bit of booing, no doubt, but I thought that the singing section kind of kept it more positive than it probably would have been if there was no singing section. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a win yesterday for the display team and the singing section as well, yeah.
So it came out that this was happening, and I hadn't really thought about it. And then on Friday, my mate had said, what do you make of this singing section, and Ken, bloody blah. And I was like, I'm not really sure, because at that point I was like, Ken, like, I kind of hate them, like what you've said with the other teams. And I've been at a couple of games in Germany, and they're outstanding, and you're obviously comparing right away, and you're thinking, 80, Ken, what's that going to make? Now, I'm no next to it, right? So I kind of say about a drum beating my eardrum. Drumming into my eardrum, feel like, I mean, I'm away on the side above the dugouts. But for me, for a distance, I liked it. And I didn't think the drum was at the time.
No.
It wasn't like banging dead loud. I thought it definitely created that. And then when you saw it was there, I could hear the megaphone a wee bit. I couldn't hear too much.
Yeah.
But then you just heard then 80 lads and lasses just going for it. And I was like, this is class. Like,
it was class, yeah.
Get me in the mix, Alf. Didn't he, a bum knee? Like, get me in there.
Are you
like,
on the shot in the megaphone?
I mean, how many of these guys now that I go to gigs and I sit, stand at the back or at the side? Like, I'd be in the mixer back in the day. Mm-hmm. Same as them. Getting fun doing stairs. Boys floating. Doing
reading.
The... Aye. Things like that. That's no me now. But I just... I liked it, but again, fair distance for me, totally.
And well, I was as close as you could be with being in it, and I thought it was fantastic. And I really hope it's something that is here to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Absolutely. And I think, like what you said, it's something that at that time in the second half, when it was like, I'm not sure what booing does to a team when you are one up, and I know it's disappointing, whatever. But like you're saying, they boys just sort of thought, went, nah, let's start banging on the drum. Let's get a couple of songs going again and keeping that. I mean, I would hate to see how they sound today, you know, because they were pretty.
That's the price you pay, Rondo.
And it's getting that. And like you say, it's getting that through the games and getting people really on board with it and stuff. And listen, trying something. It's still being done. I mean, like people, I've seen people say it on social media and stuff. It's been like a morgue. It's been like a library. It's been. And it has been.
It has been.
I mean, there's not been a lot to shout about.
No, 100% it has been. And this is maybe the time to do it. Because this season, like as you've said a couple of times today, it's going, home games especially, could be very frustrating.
106 points they get.
Well, there's no that now, obviously, we're a portion of the way there. But it's going to be frustrating. So if these guys can, and it's no like you're completely relying on somebody with a drum to lift the mood of the hail crowd, but if it helps even a wee bit, then like there's no downside to it. Now, I get people don't like drums, and I get people that there's maybe issues like we the noise and whatever, but that's the way it's going, you know. Like we're one of the few teams we ute the bloody drum, or we were until yesterday. So it's the way it's going, and I just think that people just need to embrace it now, and hopefully the club keep allowing us.
Absolutely, fair distance. It was very much a success. Fair where I was yesterday,
and that was the first game we had.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, there might be more than 80 that want to go the next time. You just don't know. And I know where it is. Like, obviously, there's a lot of season tickets, and it might be an issue getting there just now. But for away games, you would imagine that'll grow and grow, hopefully.
Leave the balaclavas at him, though.
Oh, I don't be looking like
no need for that. Right, let's get a man of the match for you.
My man of the match yesterday would have been either Declan Gallagher or Kevin Holt. Right. I'm going to give it to Declan Gallagher.
I
just think he's marshalling that back line magnificently.
Declan Gallagher.
Sorry, Kevin.
Takes the... So no surprise, didn't give him it right enough. Takes the win for that one. Referee yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just... It's not going any better, is it?
Nah, but...
I mean, like when things like... Well, throw-ins were getting taken, and then the booking situation. Like he booked Kevin Holt and didn't book the 12 boys that put in challenge for them that were... the same or as bad, and then he tried to say...
But he did book the arsehole that... I don't know if he got kicked or he got cramped and he was off the park and then he rolled onto the park. He got booked. So that was great refereeing.
He rolled off and he told him just to go up.
what an arsehole. Oh, like, how Denmark, it's so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But if the refs aren't great, it's... Have you saw the Kilmarnock game by any chance?
No. Horrendous. I heard Derek McInnes on saying the referee apologised.
They get a free kick. A Ross County player grabs a Kilmarnock player's jersey off the bar. Another Kilmarnock player goes up, he does it, goes in the goal, and he's blew the whistle and gave a penalty.
Wow.
And it happened literally that quick. So if he just had waited like a second, he'd have seen, oh, that didn't actually affect anything, and they've scored. But he didn't, because he's Scottish.
Take the missed penalty.
Of course they missed the penalty. Yeah. That's how it's such a big
I think somebody
issue.
Says that Simon Murray got done for Devon yesterday as well. What'd you know? Yeah. VAR, what are you doing?
I don't think he got... No, like he got a penalty given to him, but then VAR overturned it.
There you go. Right, let's have we listen back to your voicemails after yesterday's game.
It's just simple. Get that drum to fuck.
What has left up?
No idea. No name.
Well, I can't agree.
I thought it was you, but nah.
No, not at all. I can't agree. It's funny though.
All right, lads. Jimmy Hawk here again. I've only got a few things to say. I'm on the fucking drum. Come on the drum!
on. Opinions.
I wasn't there a few things.
It's opinions there.
That was one thing repeated. No, but that's it. Like, somebody's hating it, somebody's loving it.
He used to be Matthew, but he's Daniel now. Good Joe. Good Joe. It's me, Matthew. He's Daniel now. Danny, Danny, see. All right, boys. It's a fucking hard game to watch today, but the 3 points, clean sheet. I'm starting to come round to the drum, you ba. Love you all. Have a bra weekend and a bra week ahead for you, Big G.
How could Daniel put you in a positive mood on a Monday morning when you're listening to this?
He should be a motivational speaker.
Yeah?
I was speaking to Gareth in the Heggy yesterday and he showed me a picture. You know the way that some fans get these stickers made up and they leave them a hour? The country. There's in me Daniel Cujo. People have made Daniel Cujo stickers.
I also seen somebody had photoshopped Daniel Cujo's Daniel Cujo's
belly.
What is that about?
That's class. That's class. Pelly would have approved.
Could have put it on John Jack Meesey Meesey.
No.
I mean, fine.
No.
Right, final one.
All right, lads. Pretty poor performance today, but I think, I would assume the majority of fans will agree with us that the most important thing starting the season is we're not anywhere near in full flow yet. I mean, I think we're still finding out the best 11. I don't think Goodwin knows his best 11, to be honest. But performance has come absolutely second to results at the minute. At the start of the season, all you want to do is go off to a flyer in terms of results and get points on the board. We've done that. I'll quite happily take goals flying in left, right and centre once we're a bit more with that, but happy with the win. But yeah, shite for the eyeballs.
There you go.
Yeah. I think Goodwin probably knows the majority of his 11, I would say. There's maybe, like, I mean, if I was to pick an 11, it could probably nail on my 11.
Nine,
just
10.
Yeah. Like, right back, we've said we're not sure. I think at present, in Goodwin's mind, it's probably Grimshaw. Like, if everybody's fit, because you'd hear Sybald, you'd hear Doherty, Cujo looks like an ever-present. There's an argument for Kai or Middleton and Tony Watt and Molt. And a lot of it's because, like, there's nothing else, like, in my opinion, because Tony Watt, he's had some good games this season. He's had a couple of poor games, but, like, if you do leave him out, why are you bringing in? Like, it's, certain boys are just no undroppable, but they're in the team for a reason, because there's not really much behind them, I suppose. So I think Goodwin, I think he probably cans 9 or he's 11, I would imagine. But the boy's right, like, point to a performance is just now, definitely get them racked up.
Right, let's get into your good, bad and the ugly this week.
You can't watch late the performance now, do you? Anyway, the good this week, it has to be that we played quite poorly without our first choice of Sybald and Doherty, with most players below par, and yet still managed to record a 2-0 win and stopped the mighty Airdrie from making it 38 games in a row that they had scored in. The bad was the performance. We won, and that is ultimately the be-all and end-all, but the second half in particular was a tad concerning. We should never be sitting off a team as much as we did in that second half, regardless of opposition, in my opinion. And the ugly rondo. The Coke that my old man bought me was absolutely shite. It was liquid, it was fizzy, it was Coke-coloured, but there was no way it was Coke, and it probably cost him about £3 as well. So, daylight robbery there. United need to get that sorted.
There we go. Right, Delhi Cup next week. Dunfermline coming to Tannadice once again. They drew 1-1 with Inverness yesterday. Jim Goodwin saying in his post-match that players like Ross Graham could be getting a wee look in next week.
Yeah.
Once I was having a look at it and I was thinking, obviously, you've got Rory McLeod's away, Jack Newman's away, Archie Meekison's away. So there's three away. I wonder how many yesterday's 11 start, because I think it might be more than we actually think.
Again, out of necessity. It might have to be, yeah. I wouldn't have been playing Jack Walton. I would give Rory Adams a game. Ross Graham, Denham. I'd put them in.
Sheep or Grimshaw's going to need to play. Both are probably going to need to play, actually.
Well, I'd probably play Sheep because he's probably needing games. Flynn Duffy I would put in left back. Basically, I would swap a lot of them out. I'd swap as many out as I could. Having said that, I'd like Kai to get a game, purely because I think he needs the minutes.
Mockery?
If Mockery's fit, yeah, I would play him. And if you want to go with a couple of the young boys... I can Rory McLeod, can I, but like Owen Stutton or whatever, just give these boys a game, eh? Mm. And I heard that interview with Goodwin after the game as well, and he was like, "Well, I can't, we're taking it serious." Okay.
He's got to say that.
Of course he does. Of course he does. And he usually says all the right things as well. So, like, hats off for that. But nobody else. And me and you are calling it the Diddy Cup.
I know.
So, not really fussed. I would swap out as many as I can. Louis Molt wouldn't even be in Dundee.
Like, he said things, obviously. He was saying, obviously, about Ross Graham and stuff. Like, I used the example yesterday when I was chatting about it, that see if you kind of go to many games, say you're taking your young lad and they love Louis Molt and he turns up and he's no playing because there's no notice of that. I think if they were to say, and I know they've got tickets to sell and obviously they've had to bargain between the two of them for 12 quid or whatever it is, but if he comes out and says, you know, we'll likely make 4 or 5 changes, rather than going in and, like you say, people turning up and, I mean, I think the crowd will be much at all next week. I generally don't know.
I think it'll be less than
1,000, 1,500 tops.
2,000, less than 2,000.
I don't think it'll be much at all.
There's very little, and I'll be there because what else am I going to do? And the tickets are relatively cheap, so what else am I going to do? Of course I'll be there, but I really couldn't care less.
No.
I just couldn't, and that's, you could say that's, it's disrespectful of the tournament. Well, maybe it is, but we should never be in this tournament, in my opinion, because if we are, it means that we're in this league of fun. So I would swap out as many regular first teamers in the manager's eyes as need be, and give guys that need games and have been on the bench, get them into the team, try and get them 90 minutes.
3 p.m. kick-off.
And if you win, you win. That's fine. But that I would be treating this tournament with the contempt it deserves.
The whole time leading up to the draw for it, Martin was just desperate for, like, Wales away.
No.
No. Well, you kind of, Martin does away days, so I'm not surprised.
I know. We've been in it a couple of times. I've seen we win it. I never want to see we in it again after this season.
Our A to Z then of Dundee United. Paul and I picking a player whose surname starts the letter. We'll plead our case why they should be in the A to Z. We have to see the player a lifetime. And then you can then vote on Twitter every Tuesday. Davey Dodds took D with 45% of the vote last week. How's this going to go today?
Well, you said to me a couple of weeks ago, wait until you get to, like, certain letters. But I'm just taking it week by week. Like, I'm no getting ahead. Obviously, people are like, N's obvious, M's follow. And I get that. But in general, I've no looked at other letters. But when I went to E this week, I thought, my God. It's going to be a runaway winner. It has to be a runaway winner. But even finding, like, the second person to put on my list is a struggle. So you want to go first?
No, you.
I've wrote nothing down other than just to say, like, my first pick and the person that I think's going to win it is Craig Easton. He played 259 times. He scored 17 goals. He was part of the team when Pedersen, Olofsson and Zetterlund were there. He scored some.
Played with Charlie Miller.
Yeah. I think he was good mates with Stephen Thompson as well. He was a good player for us and a relatively good team. So I think just by default, he's going to be the winner this week. And my second pick, well, normally we give, like, notable mentions and dishonourable mentions, but my second pick was, I mean, and this is the list that I've got. I've only got 4 players to choose one from, and it was Ryan Edwards, Chris Erskine, John Eustace, who was a lone player, and William Edgingelli. So, because we got relegated last season and our captain was dreadful, I've went for Squiddy. I've went for Chris Erskine. And I can't, he's going to get no votes. But I'm going with Chris Erskine anyway. I believe he played in any of the 6-2 games. And that's Hall of Fame stuff for me. So my 2 picks this week are Craig Easton and Chris Erskine. Top that, Rondo. Top that.
Well, funnily enough, I've got the same players on my list. I also have William Edgingelli. I dishonourable mentions were to Ryan Edwards and Karl-Johan Eriksson.
Oh, you've gave them dishonourable because they were part of the 9-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Eriksson, I would argue, it wasn't really his fault, and he maybe wasn't as bad as what it was, but I thought he was pulled out the team, putting the team back and forward. Wasn't it great? John Eustace also gets a mention as well. I think Ryan Edwards, you know, I mean, there's a reason he's ended up playing in India, I think, by the look of it. Just last season, his standards just dropped and fell absolutely off a cliff. Mm-hmm. I loved Edge and Gelly just because I did.
He was very handsy. He was very handsy.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't like you in the Mardi Gras. Yeah, I mean, it's a straight shoot between Erskine and Easton, and I think it's absolutely nailed on who will win this one. Yeah. But this is what's going to happen with some of these letters. I mean, look at last week. I mean, I know some of them have been really over, but there's at least been choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was getting a bit of stick for no picking Kristen Bailey last week for some boys online, but...
Woo-hoo.
I mean...
You kind of pick Abdi.
You kind of pick Abdi. Yeah. And the thing is, when I think C, I wasn't sure about C. Like, obviously, it was Conway and it was Clark, my two choices. And I wasn't really sure within myself who's going to win that. But last week, it was Davy Dodge. So once I've picked a legend and it's Davy Dodge, then I'm very much in
the opinion. Well, I got this week that I can't believe I've picked Davy Dodge. I was like, he played his last game in 1985. I was three.
Of course. I've never seen him. You're not going to remember him. But people of a certain age just... He's a legend.
100%.
Yeah.
So there we go.
But this week, I think we all know who's going to win.
It might be
game that's not a game.
It might be an easy one. Right, over to you, Paul.
The loan report. Logan Chalmers at Ayr United. Logan would start his second spell at Ayr by getting 90 minutes along the road at Gayfield on Saturday. It wasn't going to be the best start to the match for his Ayr side, however, as they found themselves a goal behind after 21 minutes. Worry not, though. Logan himself would create the equaliser as he set up Akeem Rose to get Ayr back on level terms. It would all count for nothing in the end as Arbroath notched a winner in the 82nd minute to send Logan and his Ayr mates back home with nae points. As myself and Rondo touched on earlier, Miller Thompson at Montrose is still out injured. Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty. Lewis followed up his first start for Kelty last week by retaining his place in the starting lineup for their home game against Annan on Saturday. He'd get 57 minutes of action this week, picking up a booking in the 40th minute, before being replaced. When Lewis left the game, it was 0-0. The game would finish 1-1. Leighton Bisland at Falkirk. Leighton would start his season-long loan spell at Falkirk with a trip to face Edinburgh City. He had to make do with a seat on the bench for 87 minutes though, only coming on at the end to help his team see out their 2-0 win on the day. The academy team. It was a Friday night through in Glasgow for the Young Terrors, and by half-time they found themselves one up against Queen's Park thanks to a goal from Keir Bertie. The second half, though, was a different matter. It appeared that Queen's first two goals were offside, and given some of the decisions we've seen from referees in Glasgow over the years, that isn't exactly a shock. They then go on and add a third, and that was all she wrote for United. The academy lads are still looking for their first win of the campaign as a result of this latest 3-1 defeat. The women's team. Are you sitting down, Rondo? He's sitting down. The ladies travelled west last Sunday, where they were on a hiding to nothing with Celtic their opponents. Anyone that thought they would be anything other than a comfortable Celtic win should probably head for their doctor. That being said, the team were absolutely dismantled on the day, and by half-time were 6-0 down. Manager Graham Hart was to make three changes at the break, and it made a slight difference to the team, but Celtic would still add another three goals in the second half to ensure a truly traumatising scoreline for United fans everywhere, as the game would finish 9-0. That meant that the team have lost their first four games and not yet managed to score a goal. The scoring of goals in particular is my main concern for this season. However, that being said, as we are recording this nonsense, the team are on their travels again this week, and it really is a game that they need to get something from. Failure to do so, and alarm bells will be ringing. They face Hamilton today, and they are complete dog shit. Mon United.
Poetry. Poetry, Mr. McNichol. Right, the Community Trust have got an autumn fair. It's happening on Sunday, the 24th of September, 12 o'clock in the Heggie. You can contact dundee.ct.co.uk for more information. If you'd like to join the foundation, details are at dusf.scot. And of course, a final bit of business is on this day in association with the Arab Archive, preserving the history of Dundee United Football Club since 2006, the 4th of September is our focus there. A mix of games to 1982. And for the second successive year, Aberdeen opened a league campaign at Tannadice. Manager Jim McLean made four changes from the side that defeated Raith Rovers in the League Cup tie through the week. A Maurice Malpass volley scored the first league goal of the 82-83 season as it flew past Jim Leighton in the sheep goal. And last week's D in our A to Z of Dundee United bulleted home a header as we won the game 2-0.
Yep, and Malpass still says he was top scorer at the club for about 30 minutes or something that season, yeah.
And it's true.
He's correct.
It's an absolute fact. It's not even a Dode Fox fact.
Did you say that was the first game of the season?
First league game of the season,
That's mentally in September.
Mm-hmm.
Change days.
League Cup. League Cup was pretty much the hell of, which is what we do now, but later on. Anyway. 1990, League Cup quarter final. September. Quarter final. We're playing Motherwell for the second time in 3 days. Two goals in as many minutes changed the game. Podcast pal Jim McAnally volleyed home his first goal of the season from the edge of the box. Less than a minute later, Alex Cullen's cutback arrived at the feet of Dan Jackson as he made it 2-0 to the good guys. And that's how it finished. Our signings today. Today's signing was a product of the youth development system at Tannadice after signing from Hamilton Thistle as a schoolboy internationalist. He went on to make 183 appearances, scoring 24 goals across two spells. And despite what people think, it's no Alan Fisher, but signed on this day in 1991, Davy Hanna.
Davy Hanna. Done well for us, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Done well for himself as well.
Yeah.
And the Celtic. But yes, the Alan Fisher reference is because when we were at the Ivan Golak and Brewster night down the town in Chambers East, somebody came up to the Fish and thought they were speaking to Davy Hanna. So I don't know what feels bad about that, Fish or Davy Hanna.
Anyway, birthday mentioned then. Our one birthday boy today was signed by Peter Houston in 2010. He went on to make 76 appearances for the club. He scored 4 goals after establishing himself as the club's first choice left back. A season later, when Paul Dixon made his departure, it's a happy 34th birthday today to Barry Douglas.
Barry Douglas, happy birthday to you, buddy. And he's done all right for himself, mm-hmm. really, hasn't he?
He played at Leeds, Blackburn, I think, been in Poland a good few times.
I think he's back at Lech Poznan.
Mm-hmm.
He's done awfully well for himself. And to be honest, I didn't think he would.
No?
No, I thought he was like steady. I thought he was quite slow. I didn't think he was the best defender. Had a wando a left foot.
Mm-hmm.
But he's done very well for himself since he left Tannadice.
Indeed he has. And that is it. The Diddy Cup is up next. Let us know your thoughts. You can drop us a voicemail online anytime you like, dodefoxpodcast.com. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on social media. You can get your votes in on Tuesday for an A to Z of Dundee United. Do have a great week. Stay safe. And don't forget, as always, to wash your hands and your arsehole.